Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We've got a massive weekend of racing. Moving day, that's what they call it, Botter. Turnbull Stakes Day and the Epsom. We've got Jules Valance on the panel, Will Alford, Nick McGualter, and myself, Ben Caluzzi. Nico, firstly, moving day. For a golf tournament, would that be the third day?
It is, in a golf tournament, yeah. It's always funny they say that because, you don't always... You want to be in a good position by moving day. You don't want to have a couple of bad rounds. Firstly. Yeah, exactly right. So, and usually in a golf tournament, you could be fairly separated. It's not always close. So, yeah, it is a great day of racing on Saturday. It feels like spring's well and truly here now, even though it's been here for a few weeks. This really feels like it starts to ramp up. These horses have had a few runs under their belt, so there's no excuses anymore. And, I'm keen to dive into it.
No excuses not to find any winners as well. Bot, I assume you're well. Thanks, mate. Good chat.
No.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, mate.
And Jules, thanks very much for coming back on. Usually you come on Everest week and Nico's hanging from an apartment.
That parcel should be not too far away, Jules.
But you are the two-time reigning champion for the most listened to podcast episode of the year. Can you do it on Turnbull Stakes Day?
No, I fear for that this is the end. It's all over. All bad things must come to an end. They say all good things come to an end, but bad things come to an end as well. So this will be it. But thanks for the invite. And it's an interesting one with that moving day, as you were saying, Nico. Like at the end of the day, a couple of the, like there's four group ones. So for some of them, I think it's actually grand final day, in particular a few of those horses in the Metro, because this is their only opportunity probably to win a group one, including probably the favourite, because he's not actually entered for the cup. So there's a bit on the line, I think, for a few of these horses on Saturday.
Yep. And I'm going to say, even in a race like the Premier Stakes, that might be the only opportunity for some of those horses to win a race this spring as well, because they're going to bump into a pretty good one at the next start, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they've got none next time. So,
Jules, let's start where we always start. That is Flemington. Rails out 9 metres, which is that is typical for Turnbull Stakes Day. A lot of people don't like that, given it's a group one day, but this is the cards we're dealt. How do you think the track might play?
Well, it's a big track, so at the end of the day, it's pretty good. I think we'll be no doubt on a good four. It'll be interesting to see whether, like, we didn't really get that much today, and I thought that's probably where they thought they might get a significant amount. They haven't.
The weather was horrific today, like disgusting.
Yeah, it was windy, but it didn't give 20 mils. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it might rain and they would just have to touch on. So I think they're going to have to make a decision tomorrow maybe what they do with it irrigation-wise. But other than that, boys, I think straight, when you go out this far, the inside sort of evens up a little bit. So I'm not really worried where they draw up the straight, obviously 1,000 to 1,200 metres. I'm not too worried about that. Circle, the low percentage plays that I've got is bookends, so leaders and backmarkers. We know backmarkers are there, but Flemington overall, the leaders just fall off the cliff compared to, say, a Caulfield dry track. So I think sweet spot's sort of that midfield. I don't think the wind's going to have any impact in terms of, like, the spinnaker lane sometimes where they can get out into the middle of the track and they seem to just fly past. I don't think that'll be in play either. So I think it's going to be as even as Flemington can play, in my opinion.
And the weather should That's be perfect on Saturday, so should be no excuses there.
Yeah. All right, let's get straight into race one. Without further ado, it is a benchmark 78 over 1,200 metres, so we'll get the opportunity to see how this straight might be playing. She's an artist. Well, she burnt plenty of punters first up. She now draws out in barrier 15, $2.90 is the top price from Stolly Bolly. Did beat her home, $4.40 last time. So did Persian Spirit, actually won that race, $6.50. De Bergerac is there at $16. Acid Wash, $18. And Sought After, you're getting $19 for. So, Nico and Will, you've both got bets in this race. Nico, start with you.
Yeah, I'm happy to back She's an Artist in. I think we're going to get $3 at some point in time. And I think in this race on Saturday versus what she had last time, I think she probably will probably get a little bit more of an easy time of it. I sort of think Willow got sort of bullied into a bit of a speed battle with her sort of last start. And I think Shinny, he can be too conservative at times. So hopefully it doesn't take her too far back. But I think he'll be of note to what happened last time. And I think with a better ride on the outside this time, which I sort of like to be up the straight. I know the inside was sort of no disadvantage last time they raced there, but I always like horses to be sort of drawn wider down the straight. And I think, I think $3 is probably a fair price in a race where she should be better than them. Like, she showed group potential, so it's time for her to step up and show it. So, yeah, I think around $3, she's a fair bet to start the day.
And, Bot, are you singing from the same hymn book, or do you think she was a bit disappointing last start and she might not be able to turn it around?
Yeah, no, just using the expected rating, I think it's fair enough to forgive her for last time. I think she put up with a couple issues after the race, and I think, you know, 2-1's a fair price for her to turn it around.
Sweet. Jules, any bets?
Yeah, I agree with what the guys are saying with She's an Artist. I'm being a little bit non-forgiving of her because she was only off 77 days. The number that she did in that second race start was just enormous. It was honestly a group one performance. So I just think she's just regressed ever since. And I know that the start after it was a slowly run race, brighter world, so you forget that. And the faster they go, I thought the better she would be. And yes, she was first up. But when you're at this premium price point, I just can't be as forgiving as probably what the other two boys are, but I absolutely understand what they're saying. Because there's no real margin for error here with her price. So she's been priced off that second start rating, and I need to see it again before I go, it's becoming an outlier.
You are getting $3 this time now.
And I appreciate that, and that's fair. It's a fair statement. I'm going to back Stolly Bolly sort of 1x3, 1x4. I just think the inside will be okay, 1,200 metres. I reckon James McDonald's now had a ride on. I think he probably would have ridden this horse, probably with no expectation of just get on it, see the feel and go, okay, then jump off and go, okay, now I know I can do some stuff with this horse. And I reckon he thinks it's probably got a bit of a motor with what he did in the last 200 metres. Sort of was just out on its own. I know the Bergerac came with it a little bit, but I'm happy to play with it, knowing that I think She's an Artist gets back to that, anywhere near that figure, it will win. But I've got to be harsh on it until I see it again. So I want to see it again because I think it's going to be a ripper of a racehorse, but I can't be taking the price, albeit, as Nico said, you know, you're getting $3 and you might get even a little bit more. Look, if she got to $5 to $2, $3.50, I'd probably have something on it, but I don't think that probably happens.
Yeah. It's J-Mac no bet race for me.
J-Mac does have an opinion of that Stolly Bolly because we did get the tip off that he chased that ride.
Well, I don't know if it was his greatest ride ever last start as but...
But it still says enough that he said it.
But I just think he didn't think he knew where... Like, the inside seemed to control the speed there.
Yeah, that's true.
He sort of checked off heels at sort of 300 because, like, the bird had already flown. Just think now he's going to be in the right clump. I think it'll run really well.
Yep. Jules, are you backing anything in the first start as a Maribyrnong trial or happy to
see? No, yeah, I have, look, to be honest, and I'm very open about this. I don't even look at it because there's only so many minutes in a day. There's so many minutes you can do. And when I was at Esperen, it was actually one of my little sort of pet things that I did. I really dived into the trials and the jump outs and I loved it and probably did okay at it. But now I'm just doing other things in terms of my form that I just can't get bogged down into the jump outs and trials. And that's just my own personal opinion. So I wouldn't even know if any of these go good, bad or ugly.
Yeah, no, that's lunchtime, 12:55 p.m. Let's go straight to race three. It's the Listed Superimpose, 1,800 metres. This is for our three-year-olds, and no doubt it'll be one of the pointers towards races like the Derby and the Oaks. Miwa is our $4.40 favourite. We've got Officiate $5, Options $6, probably a little bit unlucky last time. Obvious $6.50, Akora $12, and Kakoi also $12. Wilbot, who do you like in this?
I thought Officiate gets a really great run, and I love what it did. I love the sectional times it ran second up, and I think third up now. It's right spot, right time. It's bred for the trip. James McDonald rides, and I think it's a great bet at $5.
Simple as that. Jules, anything in race three?
I'm exactly the same as Will here. I love that rating last start. No, there's not really many margins, but I just still think it was a really good rating race. I sort of backed the second horse, the filly of Gaze, when it came down here on preview Oaks Day. They backed it sort of hard in the earlies, and then obviously something went amiss because it's actually going straight to the paddock. So I think the rating's right. Love the blinkers first time. I just wanted a different form line. I know a few of these around in Victoria sort of look good to the eye, but I've just got no real figures for them. So I'm happy to be with it, and I'm going to have something on Kakoi because I think it just rolls forward. And if it's a horse that needs further. It didn't have any late section in it at all last start, but it did go well inside standard time. So if they really run it along, she might be able to just own the race and get a few of these at 1,800 metres, which I reckon they might be pretty brittle at, to be honest. So they're the plays, but sort of with Will with Officiate, but I'm just going to have something Kakoi as well.
Yep, love it. Officiate, blinkers first time, and Kakoi. We know Trent Busserton and Natalie Young. They are pretty profound at getting a derby type at this time of year. Race four is the Edward Manifold. Group two, 1,600 metres for the girls. Just a Journey is now to $3.90. You've taken unders, bot, sorry to say. Bellazane is $5. Zany Girls, $7. Yum, $7. Is a big last start win. One, it's last two, actually. Spicy Lou, $8. And Just Kick, who we're just kicking on to, hopefully in Oaks, is $10. You are backing this favourite, Will.
Yeah, I think it gets the greatest run of all time behind the Gay Horse, who went really, really hard at Sandown. I think it just sits right off it. And the three-year-old filly's form's no good. And this horse, you know, was second to Tooleries first up and then handled them second up at Canterbury and, you know, the good SP there. So James McDonald jumps on board and it gets a great run. It's pretty easy. I think it's out to 3-1 now. That's pretty good betting, I'd have thought.
Yep. The form around Tooleries looks pretty strong. Jules, any bets?
I think me and Will must have gone to the same school of having a bet because...
I think you were just backing J-Mac, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad little theory, to be honest.
Kind of works.
I was on a trading floor one day and a bloke just said, people going that bad, just back number four every time. If you just back McDonald every race, you're probably okay. I agree everything that Will says. I just want a different form line here. It has it. Just map for me. I know Canterbury can be really a little bit forgiving or kind to horses that lead there, but I still got other ratings for it that are really solid. So it's just built a pretty good base, I think, this horse. I think Michael Friedman's a really good trainer. He's got really good stats overall. I think he's going at 26%, market expectation 24%, so you're winning money. The only issue I will say with that, he's 0-18 in Victoria at a pretty high market expectation, and he's not last eight runners single figures. He's 0-8 on one placing, but I'm trusting that he eventually bucks that trend, and if he does, I think this is probably the right horse. So pretty keen Just a Journey. It's actually my best of the day.
Huge. Love it. All right, let's get to another race.
Fucking bet or what? Like, is this just a, what is going on here?
We're only playing the good stuff.
The Bot and Jules show is fantastic.
I'll go first, yeah. Race 5 is the Rose of Kingston 1400-meter Group 2 on display, $2.90 from Miravale Rose, $7.50. Marble Arch, $8.50. Does have some good figs at Flemington. Miss Aria, $10. Tuileries, we just mentioned, $10. Roll on High, $12, and moving out for that man, J-Mac, is $12. On display, I feel like she probably is priced on a little bit of potential. Her ratings probably don't match that current figure in the market, but I do feel like there's a big win coming, and I reckon it might be this Saturday. So I would love a little bit better than what's currently on offer, but it was just an absolute sickening watch. If you're on last time, she drew inside at the Flemington 1400 meters. She was never really tested. Beware the unlucky runner in a race like that at times. But I love what she did first up. I think she can bounce back in a big way here, third up. The only thing I would love a little bit better than what the price is that's currently on offer, but she's drawn out this time around. Ben Malham has a big opinion of her, as does the camp, and she's on her way to an Empire Rose. And if she's going to be competitive in a race like that, she needs to be going mighty close here. Will, what are your thoughts on this race?
I thought Roll on High deserved to be a lot shorter than prices bigger than 10-1. She won a Group 3 here one day, Track and Trip. Her best form is as good as on display as anything on display has ever done in her life, and she's five times. She's way, way bigger than price. So, I just thought Roland High was a great bet in this race.
Yeah, I could definitely spec it, Nico.
I'm keen to chime into on display. I think it's probably one of the better bets of the day. I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment that she should have won last time. She should have finished closer. I know that for a fact, but I don't think this is the best race in the world, even if she's not a Group 1 horse. I don't think she needs to be in this race. You know, Miravale Rose is second favourite. She's been a good horse over the journey, but she was very much in the wilderness, and Stretton Angel is a horse that hates winning and definitely dug its toes in late. So
I think she's better at 1,200, Miravale Rose.
Yeah, she's not a 1,400-metre horse. Marble Arch.
I've always thought she was a 1,400-metre horse.
And Tuileries, I love her, but I hate her as well. she's a tease. She is. Like, she looks. If she genuinely wanted to try, she could be anything. But yeah, I think this is a bridge too far for her. So yeah, I'm really keen on display. Probably the best of the day, I reckon.
Jules, what do your numbers say about the on display and this price?
Yeah, I just can't get it anywhere near. I shouldn't say anywhere near. I just can't get her at the price that she is. And I think I've marked her favourite, but the price is just purely on, you know, what might be and all this kind of thing. Like, you know, she's still very much a benchmark horse that, albeit is going to get to the level, but there's just easier races for her. Now, I don't know. I think she's the most likely winner. I want to put this out on record. Me and Will are not sharing the same bed. I just need that to be known. Because, again, I sort of think Roll on High, whether it's this start, I don't know. Like,
this is unbelievable stuff.
It's fucking sickening, isn't it?
He's only 19, mate. You can't be in the same bed as him.
I was saying that I'm not. No, I'm not sure what the age of consent is, but Anyway, the point is that I don't know what the point is, but it's got numbers in it, Rowan Height. And here's the question for you guys. I've got zero speed in this race, like zero. This could get really, really messy for me. I look at it and I go, who leads? Like Miraval rolls, probably rolls forward at 1400. Does Craig on Tories go, there is no speed here, and he's the most positive rider out there that sort of takes the idea of rolling forward? I don't know, because can you guys give me a natural leader here?
I think Miraval Rose leads from maybe Miss Aria.
Running by as well.
Running by may chance her arm and go forward, but there's not a whole heap.
It just doesn't seem to be. Which also probably, if the pensive string is only three lengths, then it probably helps on display because I think she's probably got the best turn of foot and that's probably okay. But I just think this race has got messiness written all over it from a map point of view, and for that reason I sort of don't want to take that early price. And I just don't think On Display is going to get spat out by the market. There's just nothing there to suggest that she's going to get, you know, really, really big. So
at least she's drawn out this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like she'll get her opportunity. There's no doubting that. And I think probably, you know, 6 months, you'd say you're getting 290. But, you know, these kinds of horses that we've sort of got a pretty good grasp on, that at least we know that there's no, we don't know where her ceiling is. We probably know where the others are, but
she won't be in the Empire.
I've had something early on Roll On High, because if it does get back to anywhere near its best, its numbers are superior to anything, really.
Yep. All right, let's get to the three-year-old sprinting feature, 1100-meter Group 2. It's the Danehill. Roseburg is $4.20 favorite now from Tentris on return, $5. Obviously won a Todman, went close in a Blue Diamond. My Gladiola, last start winner, $5.50. Tycoon Star rates well, $8. In Karuna, also $8. Jimmy Ricard, $8.50. And Legacy Bound hasn't done much wrong. In fact, he's done nothing wrong. Unbeaten 3 from 3 and also $8.50. Jules, I want to quickly touch on Roseburg and Clinton McDonald, this camp. They are very good at finding one, and they are very good at backing one on debut. They did it with this horse. I think it was 7 into 350. And I don't know if you caught Geelong today, but there was one called Live. Mm. Who was absolutely off the map, one on debut. They can find a good one.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt. Actually, I do know that horse that won today because I had a good mate who's a big punter back the second horse, and he was absolutely driving Neil. So I don't really know. I went back and watched the race about 50 times, and I was like, I don't know why the fuck you're blaming driving Neil. I think you're probably lucky to get so close. But anyway, he was kicking the cat, which he doesn't have. They're right. They do find the right ones. I mean, this is the fascinating chat with horse racing, isn't it? So we've sort of heard all along that this horse was got plenty of ability. And then you go, well, it's a colt. What are you going to do? Of course, you're going to talk it up. You know, so continually talk it up. Now, the number on debut, for me, wasn't much, right? But then you look at, you've got to trust your eye. And you go, there's plenty more under the bonnet with this horse. It sort of did things wrong. It sort of just got there on raw ability to win a listed race or a stakes race. On debut, you don't get that too often. Like, that's rare air to be able to do that. Do I want to play in this race? No, because I think there's just some unknowns for me. I don't know if this horse is going to continue to improve. And if it does, well, then it probably puts itself there. I don't know what the toppy, how it's going to come back first up. I've sort of got my doubts on that Legacy Bound sort of form line. I don't know if that's good enough. I thought the filly, probably My Gladiola, went better. Do I want to back her again off that number? Can that hold? I'm not too sure. So I'll be leaning on you guys here for what you think, because I just thought this was full of unknowns for me.
There's plenty of unknowns. I'm probably obliged to have the unknown on top, and that's number one, Tentris, who is returning. I thought what he did in his first preparation was really, really solid. It's incredibly hard to knock. Probably should have won a Blue Diamond. He's all his work has been really good leading up to this. The only thing that I query with Tentris, I've looked at some of his tapes and I've looked at the horses around him. He still looks like a bit of a two-year-old. He doesn't look like he's a big horse, like he's strengthened up. Like You see him, I think he had a gallop with Giga Kick the other day, and I know Giga Kick's a massive horse, but just absolutely towered over him. And then even next to Roseburg, Roseburg just looks much bigger than him. So I don't know if that's any worry, if he can take that step to a three-year-old, but without necessarily steaming in, I do have Tentris on top. But what are your thoughts?
I think they're all no good, and I don't want to touch the race at all. It's gross.
So I didn't have to wait race 5 minutes, and we could have just ended and moved on.
Yeah, we could
have. Well, like you said, Rosberg is, you know, he won really well on debut. Ran a good rating for a horse on debut, but like for in comparison to this, it's like, you know, he's not top rated, but he's a favourite. I understand why he's favourite. Tentris coming off an injury. I don't know, where else do you look? Tycoon Style, Legacy Bound, they're all better at 1,200, I would have thought. So 1,100 metres downhill is not ideal. It's just, I don't want to bet at all.
All right, let's move on then. I know where you're going to have a bet, and that's in race 7. It is the Bart Cummings, Group 3, 2,500 metres. You win this, you're into the Melbourne Cup, and Gilded Water, our $2.40 favourite, isn't in the Melbourne Cup. And he's already as short as $18, I think I see, in all-in betting. So
ridiculous.
Crazy, crazy stuff. But if he does win this, then maybe he's a live chance in a race like that. The horse who already is in the Melbourne Cup is Revelare. He's now into $3.80. He opened as big as $6. He's been really well-backed. He's got to give the favourite 5 kilos at the weights. Berkshire Breeze is $12. Bird of Buy, $13. Mormona does bring those Revelare form lines, $13. And Sayadati Sadati is $16. Will, you are very, very keen on the King's Horse.
Yeah, the Gilded Water, I think, is a $1.80, $1.90 chance, and it gets the greatest run of all time. And the jockey switch isn't exactly ideal, but I'm just mad keen on it. I think it's a really nice horse. I think 1.5 miles will only suit it third up, and it'll roll forward. And there's not a whole lot of speed on paper anyway. There might, a couple of these might chance their arm. I'll have something small in Berkshire Breeze in interpretation, but Gilded Water is a
They're looking for bet. A fucking flight of hurdles, but fair dinkum.
No, I just really like Gilded Water. I think it's a really nice horse, and it gets the perfect setup on Saturday.
Yeah, initially I looked at this race and I thought, oh, geez, he's a little bit short, isn't he? But the more I delve deeper into it, I can understand where you are coming from. Time Figure was really good last start. He did carry a big weight there. He now plummets down to 54, gets up to a distance that really should suit him. And as long as Jamie goes forward from barrier 14, I think he's mighty hard to beat. If they go back, then you're tearing your hair out a little bit. Jules?
They won't go back. There's no chance they go back.
I hope you're right.
Bot's had the phone call from Waller.
Jules, have you had a bet here?
Yeah. This is interesting. So I don't know how to say this, but I agree with Will.
So the only difference is Jules can tip the card and Bot won't because he doesn't want to bet in the Daniel.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So there's sort of a couple of, there's probably two big dogs that are left to play the fixed odds from final fields, sort of from probably Thursday morning to whenever. And a lot of it is done off speed maps. So, and they've backed Revelare, sort of been 6 into sort of 420, 440, one big cut. So that gives it away that it's one of those guys. And usually that's a pretty good sign. But I think in this instance, I think the market just put up Gilded Water, I believe, to begin with. Just, and I know you guys are probably marked in the red, and so maybe the price was right, and we'll find that out. But I just don't think they probably had it that short. They might have had Gilded Water $3 and say Revelare $4.80 or $5 and gap the rest, $15, $20. And so they're like, well, we can get $6, $6.50 Revelare. We have to take that bet and then probably play Gilded Water right at the death. That's my opinion on what the market is as a starting point. And I think they think Revelare is going to get the great gun run, which it will. You know, first six probably sits there. Jamie has to be positive. Will's right. Like, that's just so crucial that they are positive. I mean, I think there's going to be a few horses that might kick up and just make it a little bit difficult to begin with. But I love Jamie's hands in these staying races. I think She did a really good job sort of 2 weeks ago with a horse called Half Yours in a naturalism over 2,000 for a horse that needed to use that gate and sit in the first three or four. She got it there with no dramas. I think she can do the same from an outside draw. I agree with Will as well. This horse does things wrong, and I feel like it needs to be bossed a little bit. It needs someone to stand over it, and Zara is the ultimate jockey to do that. So to have Jamie, it's not ideal in that scenario, but the other scenario is she has beautiful hands, and I think she can get a horse to settle, and I think that's okay in this scenario. But I think if he gets a hold of her, then, you know, it might be a concern. And that's my only slight concern. Other than that, I think this horse has panels on them. I mean, to be getting 5 kilos of Revelare, again, which opens up another little really interesting point for me, is that Revelare's got 51.5 in a Melbourne Cup already for winning the Archer or whatever it is. It's really fascinating to what the penalty can be here for a horse like Gilded Water. I mean, if it wins, it's almost like you can't penalise it at all, because if it wins by 4 and you give it 2.5, then it's going to be carrying 52.5 and Revelare 51.5 and already, like, the weight swing's just horrendous. So going to be interesting to see what the handicapper does, I think, from that perspective, but that might be a moot point if he doesn't win. Anyway, in terms of winning the race, I think he wins, and I think he's a really nice horse. And I'm just hoping that he just wins this race and they don't decide to run in the Caulfield Cup, or he doesn't get enough weight to get into a Caulfield Cup.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, and they just stay at the Melbourne Cup, because he could become a real fly in the ointment for me in the Caulfield Cup, because I think he'd be a life chance there too.
Is there a price in your head that you're not willing to take, or that you are willing to take with this horse?
On Saturday, Gilded Water?
Yeah, correct.
I think the price now is more than reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't want to be taking bang on even money or something like that. But I'm also really well aware that he might. I think the crush will come for him. Like, I think the other bigger dogs that play through the totes at the death, I think they just have to back this horse. I really do. I'd just be shocked if they didn't. I mean, there is no guts to this race outside of this horse and Revelare, and I think the market shows that.
The scary thing for me is Revelare has been 6 into sort of 380, 390. Gilded Water got out a tiny bit, but he's still been rock solid. So even the fact that Revelare has come in so much, Gilded Water is still sitting there at $2.40. I sort of waited. I probably should have taken the $2.60 or $2.70 that he got out to. But now I've done myself a mischief there, and I'll just have to accept what's on offer. Race 8 is the Turnbull Stakes Group 1. You've got to note that it is not weight for age. It's set weights and penalties. 2,000 metres via Sestina. Talking about little drifts, got to as big as $2.70, now back into $2.40. Sir Delius, the money's been on, $5.50. Aliana has been a slight drifter, $5.50. Antino, little bit of specking now into $9.50. Half Yours looks well weighted, 56 kilos, $11. Golden Path should be our speed, $18. You know, it's a big prices along the rest. We'll get a quick little speed map here from you, Jules. I mentioned Golden Path. What else do you think goes forward and goes with him?
Yeah, I think Golden Path's a really interesting one, because they're sort of saying, well, we don't think he's good enough for a Caulfield Cup, but it's probably his year for the Caulfield Cup. And he was really good, obviously, in the other race, the Underwood, I think it was, a couple of weeks ago. I think they'll be kind to him a little bit. I don't think they'll want to lead, but I think they'll take leaders back. I think they'll no doubt be positive, but I don't think they'll lead. I think River of Stars will come across. I think it probably leads, and I think it gives an opportunity for Sir Delius to probably sit outside leader. That's in the belief that I think Deacon is a little bit conservative. Now, there's also an idea you could suggest that Deacon, if it does push up, then Craig's got a problem with Sir Delius, because he probably doesn't get in. But I think once they find their order, it sort of sits like that. Golden Path there, I think Half Yours. I wouldn't be surprised to see Adelaide River comes out of a sort of a fast run 2,000-metre race. They push forward. I think either Adelaide River or Half Yours gets the 1-1, and I think that's a big, big map advantage for probably both of those horses. I think then Aliana takes the back of Half Yours. Antenno takes the back of Aliana. And obviously the Fade probably ends up back 3 back rail behind Golden Path. Probably gets ahead of Zardozi, I would have thought. I don't think James would want to be behind Zardozzi fullback rail. So that's how I think it settles. And interested in your thoughts on the map, you guys.
Oh, look, I'm pretty happy to go along with that as well. I think River of Stars has been put in the race for one reason and one reason only, and that's to inject a bit of tempo on like last start in that Maccabi Diva. That was such pedestrian run. But I'm excited about this race because this is the first race where I know for a fact Jules and Will don't have the same opinion. I know for a fact. So well, Jules?
Only the last 15 minutes, so it's
not... Oh, come on. State your case. State your case. You go first, Jules.
We'll go first.
I'll go first. I've had a bet for a while. I think there's two winning chances in this race. I think I'm a little scared that VS16 is going to be in a bit of trouble, but I'm just backing her in. She ran the fastest last 600 that she ever has in Australia last time. She's looking for 2,000 metres. She's top dog until someone takes that mantle off her out to this sort of trip. Her 2,000 metre form is clearly the best in this race. As you said, Benny, she finally gets a bit of pace in a race, not that joke of a race that they participated in last time. And when there's speed, it usually brings out the best athlete, and she is the best athlete in this race. So I'm keen to be with her as my main bet, and I think the only danger to her is the heir apparent. I think Aliana's been super this preparation. She beat her home last time in the jog, trot, and sprint home, and I think she's genuinely not that far away from VS16. We don't know where her ceiling is, and I would love to see them both go to war in this race to just really add some more juice to the Cox plate. I love Sir Delius. He hopefully is just going to run great in the Cox plate, and he's only got to win one more race this preparation. That's on the first Tuesday in November. That's all he's got to do, so we just need him to stay with the wheels in motion until then. I had this chat with Will before we jumped on. I think Antino, he's got to bring the ace out, which is his, catch him on the hop. I think they'll save that for the Cox plate. I don't think they'll show their hand here. I think they're only going to be able to do it once this preparation. I think they'll save it for grand final day. Half yours, I expect him to run really well. He's got the Caulfield Cup at his mercy, but this is a little bit different gravy to what he's been racing against. And don't worry about the rest of them. So great race, and happy to back in the class.
All right, I'll quickly butt my head in here. I was able to get a bit of $2.70 for the good horse last night via just when a bit of money was coming for Sir Delius. She got out. I'm happy to be with her. Third up, 2,000 metres, a little bit more tempo. Barrier one is a little bit interesting. However, she has drawn barrier one, I think, four times in Australia, and hasn't really bothered her so far. She's been able to shoulder her way clear. We know she's a big mare, and I think she might be able to assert her dominance. Aliana, I've got heaps of respect for. She can definitely win. I've also backed Antino at $11. Look, deeper in the prep now, all of his good figures come when he's had a bit of fitness under the belt. He's got that now. He gets to 2,000 metres. He does have to carry the top weight here, given set weights and penalties. But I just think he's slightly over the odds, given what he did at the back end of last preparation in Queensland. So VS16 on top, but I've got a lot of respect for Antino and Aliana. Sir Delius, he could be a freak. He gives a little bit of, like, he's not in the same, I don't think he's in the same conversation, but he gives a little bit of a feel of incentivize. Like, if he goes and wins this, it's just like, well, he might just go and win a Cox Plate and a Melbourne Cup because he's just got this massive engine and he might get a good run from 14.
Wash your mouth out. Wash your mouth out. The amount of people that start talking about incentivizing, I feel like they give him no credit, that horse. But anyway, that's my opinion.
No, he was a freak. But, when he won that Maccabi Diva and the Turnbull, it was just like, wow. How far is he going to win the Caulfield Cup by?
Yeah.
Botter.
I think if you filter VS16's runs at 2,000 metres, look, the rating she's running, they can't compete with her. And, she's edging out to, the sort of price 270 on race day, Ben. Like you were saying, she was 270 last night. If she's edging out to that sort of price on race day, I think that's a more than fair price to get involved. I know the map's probably not ideal, but the pace will be on. I think it'll be an honestly run 2,000 metres, and she's just got a level that some of these just don't quite have. And I'm more than happy to take anything probably better than $2.30 about her on race day.
Great. Jules, she's gone.
I'm not going to say she's gone, but I think I just don't believe the narrative about she's no good in slowly run races. You know, she won her first up race, I don't even know, it was 1,400 metres. She ran down a horse called Zoo Gotcha, who was an on-speed horse, pretty good over sort of that kind of distance. And I think she ran sort of sub-11. So I don't believe that. My belief is that Waller might train the absolute guts out of her after the first up runs, and whether that's through that week into the Maccabi. So she runs really flat. Well, she ran flat in that race behind Mr. Brightside. What I'll say is, if you're in the Sustainer's corner, you're hoping the guts that that's what happened. Because if not, this holding on hope to a aging mare that she's just going to get back to whatever that is, and she's never going to get back to Via Sestina Island from the Cox Plate. But getting back to those figures off that run, I'm not going to be so forgiving. I just think, again, unless he deliberately trained her really hard for this effort here, I think she's in a world of hurt. I think they're coming out of a really soft 1,600 metre race. So how much work has he put into her? I'd say a stack. I'd say I don't like jumping at shadows and all this kind of stuff, but the fact that James McDonald is riding this horse, I feel like I just love dark art sort of stuff, that it's more or less like, I don't know where she's at here. I need you to be on this horse, and I need you to give me a really good feel, because I don't know where she's at. And that's me playing into spaces I don't know, but I just think it has to have some type of significance. Otherwise, he'd be in Sydney riding Autumn Glow. That's what would be happening.
Yeah, it sounded like he wanted to ride Autumn Glow, which is...
I think there's no doubting that. I think that's pretty well documented. And I just get it. Again, you shouldn't worry about that kind of stuff when you're doing the form, but I just think when you're taking these kinds of prices, you need to have all the boxes ticked. I just think that the 1,600-metre run last start was ordinary. The other part to it as well is there's just a couple of horses here that have had a couple of goes at 2,000 metres and they're in high-pressure races. And I think if this race can be run genuinely, especially Sir Delia sitting outside, say, River of Stars, and I get the point that Via Sestina, the faster they go, that the better she is. 100% agree with that. Just don't know whether she's there now. And her Turnbull run last year was a big, big number when she beat Buckaroo and then went on and did the Cox Plate number. Great, get that. She gets back to that. Don't worry, they're not going to get anywhere near her. 100%. I just don't know if she can do that. I think the map horse by far is half yours. He's not probably a wait for age horse, but he is Johnny on the spot right here, right now. And if they go at a really good clip and he can sit in the 1-1 or just off the 1-1, oh, I think he can win this race. Oh, I think he's in rare air right now. So he gets a few of these who I reckon might be 1/5 short of a run. And that's all on my take with these horses, the difference being he might not be good enough. But we talk about, you know, I think Nico said he's got the Caulfield Cup at his mercy. If he's got the Caulfield Cup at his mercy, he has to just about win this race. Because I don't think 5th or 6th wins the Caulfield Cup. You run 5th or 6th in this, it's not good enough from this map. If he'd drawn 12 and it goes all the way back and finishes through the line, you go, perfect, no worries. There's no excuses for half yours now in terms of the map and where it sits.
And the weight.
And yeah, absolutely. The set weight and penalty helps. I think he might be able to catch him on the hop a little bit and blow him away. I reckon he could have something on Adelaide River as well, just the other horse at 2,000 metres who might just end up 1-1. I just think if this becomes a really hard-run 2,000-metre race, I want those two on my side.
Yep, sweet. Calvin McAvoy was speaking at the RV launch tonight, and I think there are a little bit regrettable that they never nommed this horse for a Cox Plate. I never thought he was going to probably get to that, but it was always, you know, it could have been an option after the Caulfield Cup, but now they'll probably just put him out. All right, let's speed up a little bit. Race 9, Gilguy, Group 2, 1,200 metres, War Machine. Got to carry the top weight here, given the set weights and penalties nature. He was very good winning that Stradbroke. He's $4 favourite from Star Patrol. What a great return from this horse. $7, Nadal, Vamos, $8, Lafraca. He's going for $5 on the bounce, $9, Payline, $11, and West Star from Western Australia is $14. All righty, who wants to go first here? Nico?
Yeah, great race. Race of the day sort of stuff. From an outsider looking in sort of scenario, I want to be with number 8, Nadal, as my main selection. $8, really good price. J-Mac from Barrier 6. I only scratched him because of the ground the other week, so it's not like he's had a setback or anything. He's had a little tick over in between, which was good work. Yeah, we sort of alluded to the races that might beckon him at the back end of the carnival, and he'd want to be giving this race a good shake. War Machine does command respect. 60 kilos, no easy feat first up, drawn the right side of the track. Yeah, don't want to lose if he wins, so I'll cover my ass on him. But yeah, keen to have something on Nadal. I think he's a proper horse.
Lovely. Jules, any bets?
Zero. I think it's a really good race. Great race, but I've got no edge or angle from how to actually have a bet in this race. I think there's 10, possibly more, legitimate winning chances.
Yep. I've got nothing in the last either, mate. Do you?
Nope. Again, pretty solid race, but I couldn't. I'm fascinated in the... Could there be a bigger jockey change on the 12?
What is it, J-Mac on?
It's Steve Williams on. No disrespect to the person that was on it previously, but I think it's a fair jockey change.
Shadazy. Yeah. I couldn't even tell you who she is.
Yeah, again, no disrespect, but it feels like it's a fair jockey change.
Second biggest gear change. Too. The first biggest gear change, Jules, is bot off. Punters on.
Yeah, he was keen last time.
That's a big one.
All right, let's get up.
The line.
Yeah. Let's get up to Sydney Town, where we just skipped the first half of the card, like we always do. But Randwick Rail True, we absolutely love that. And I think they've got warm weather. It's coming good at the right time of year. 21 degrees on Saturday.
It needs to stay that way for another 2 weeks, and it can do whatever the fuck it wants.
Yes, agree with that. All right, let's go straight to race 6. 1,600 metre group on. This is for our 3-year-old fillies, Apocalyptic, $1.85, Tupacara, $7.50. Within the Law, has drawn wide the last couple, now draws in. Can she improve? $7.50. Queen of Clubs, didn't get a whole lot of luck last time, $10. Artistic Venture, $13. Magenta Skies, $19. Jules, what would need to happen here for this favourite to be beaten, given she did handle them last time?
She did. This map's fucking, there's no speed in this, right? Like zero. Like, I would have given none to Tupacara in a genuinely run 1,600 metre race, because I don't think she gets it down at well, but probably has to be the leader by default, possibly. Maybe does Enviable maybe come across and sit outside? I'm not really sure. I mean, you guys might have a bigger opinion. I don't know. I just thought the map was a little bit sticky for this horse. I don't know where it gets to in the run, and I think that's where it could possibly get beat. If going to the head, if they could get Queen of Clubs to sit a little bit closer and not have this idea that she's our Oaks horse, and so we're going to ride really negative neutral, could have something on her.
She is the Oaks horse, though.
Yeah. And so when she is the Oaks horse, this is a good point, but do they ride like that in lead-up races? That's sort of what I'm getting at, because I feel like this horse could settle front half of field. But if you're thinking it's the Oaks horse and the camp think it's the Oaks horse, you know what they're going to do? We want to be hitting the line hard. Yeah. And to hit the line hard, you ride neutral, or to be more honest, negative neutral, and you just hit the line hard without giving yourself the best winning chance. I'd love it to not be the Oaks horse, but I agree that it is because I think it could win this race. That's just my opinion.
It's settled in front of a grand total of four horses in its last four starts.
Because I think they want to be negative, neutral, and hitting the line for the purpose that you say.
Yeah. I think it might.
Pretty too settle closer if they wanted to.
I think it might be the potential value you're getting double figures for that horse, but Apocalyptic for me, I took $1.95. We speak of the map. I don't think things really worked out that well for her in the T-Rose. She was sort of caught on a limb, three wide, didn't really have anything to take her into the race. Drew barrier eight. I backed Tupacara in that race just because I thought the map worked out perfectly for her and she had the blinkers on for the first time, J-Mac. But Apocalyptic just absolutely steamrolled them. And up to 1,600, I don't really think they're going to beat her. So I would be happy to bet at the current price, $1.85, and yeah, go and find your bookie.
I completely agree. I reckon Tupacara is a slug. I think Within the Law has been just, she just can't draw a gate, but I don't know if she's that good either. I think Apocalyptic's a pretty nice horse. You don't see a good jockey like Tommy Berry get as active as he's been over the finish line in not Group 1 races in the lead up to this. Like, he's been proper saluting. I think he knows that he's sitting on a Learjet, and I think she'll murder him, to be honest. She could start $1.50.
I've had an opinion of Magenta Skies.
She could be the...
It wants it fast, though.
She could be a nice 2,000-metre horse, I reckon.
Yeah. What's the 2,000-metre race in Sydney for the fillies? The Vinery, is that it?
Yes. Yeah, but is that...
That's in the autumn.
That's in the autumn.
Oh, fuck.
You can bring them... can you run three-year-olds in...
against the spring champion. I think there's been a couple of fillies that have won the spring champion, to be honest.
Montefilia won it.
And what's the race during Cup Week? I think, is that mares only?
The Ethereal.
The other group two for the older horses.
At Caulfield, the Ethereal.
The Matriarch.
There's the Matriarch as well. Yeah, I don't know if you can run three-year-olds in that race or not. But
I don't think you can.
Yeah. All right, race seven, it's the premier, 1,200 metres group two. It's the final main lead-up to the Everest in 2 weeks. Briasa, really well supported, $1.95. I think they put up $2.30 at the tab. Punter said, thank you very much. This is our map horse. He's going to get the perfect run here from barrier two. Jimmy Starr, $3.50. He's been well supported as well. Was as big as $4.40. And the one they spat out is Private Harry. Look, knuckled at the start last time. Can you forgive that? Now $4.80. Marzu, $12. And you have to Jetabil, $35 and longer the rest. Jetabil obviously owned by Mulberry, but Mulberry have today decided to take Charmstone as their Everest slot.
Was that real? Because I heard that was fake. That was fake news.
No. There's a
someone... Because someone's got...
I can explain this one. There's a fake Ray Thomas Twitter account that has been created.
Someone's got too much fucking time.
So they've made a Ray Thomas account, and he went the early crow and said this horse is going to make the Everest, and he was right. So it must have been announced on the radio somewhere, but it officially came out later in that morning, Botter. I just thought the price differential between Jimmy Starr and Briasa... Earlier, that was $4.50 around for Jimmy Starr was too big. So I've backed Jimmy Starr at that quote. I think the thing that helps him here, I know he's drawn barrier seven, he's a get back run on horse. Briasa's going to have, you know, three, four lengths on him at the 500. I think the thing that helps him is it's going to be such a small field. So as Jules speaks about, that elastic band is a little bit smaller than it would be in a, you know, maximum field of 15. He's got a really good turn of foot. I think he was satisfactory first up at 1,000 metres. And his trial between runs, just smoking down the outside, beating a decent one in She's an A-lister, who always trials well, was really good work. So I just thought the price differential was too big, and I'm on Jimmy Starr. Jules?
No bet. Just going to watch this race. I think it's pretty similar to, to be honest, it's one that I haven't drilled down into that much. So more than Epsom and the Metroc for me for these other two in Sydney. So you boys knock yourself out.
Yeah. Nico, Briasa, you know, possibly the most likely winner, but could you chime in?
$2 is a bit yuck.
Yeah, not even $2. Odds on.
Odds on is a bit yuck. I you forced me to have a bet in the race, it'd be Jimmy Starr, I think. But yeah, it's the happy birthday because I'm going to get my heart broken next start stakes. So yeah, good luck to them all. I hope they all enjoy themselves on Saturday because they'll get put through a pain barrier in 2 weeks' time that they won't enjoy.
All right. The Epsom Group 1 1600 meter handicap. It is a time honored race, yet it's worth 1.5 million, and they've got an Alan Brown Stakes also worth 1.5 million over 1400 meters next week. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, that, but that might be a reason why they're not getting, blunder. Might be one of the reasons why they're not getting a full field in this race. Autumn Glow $2.20 from Pericles $7.50, Chaya Wolf $9.50. Will he do it? Will he do it? I don't know. He's won a New Zealand Derby, and now they're asking him to win a 1600 meter Group 1 handicap. If there is anyone who can do it, it's Kieran Maher, $9.50. Pia, gee, he looks a real Epsom sort of profiler, $12. And Swift Falcon, gee, he's been disappointing, $16. He always gets back. He runs on. He doesn't win.
Promise the world and delivered. Not even an Atlas.
Jules, we'll do a quick speed map, given it's a Group 1. I thought Fully Lit is your main leader in barrier 8, but outside of that, it's a little bit up for grabs.
Yeah, I think probably the two white horses, Yellow Brick and probably Magnetia, might be the two that might be able to roll forward and end up one of them probably sitting outside lead. I think a horse like Pericles gets a beautiful run probably in the first four. And then you got to, you know, work back through, you know, horses like you know, El Castello, all those kinds of horses. They're going to sit sort of, you know, the first six or seven. And then so you want to go, okay, so where's the favourite going to get? I think it probably gets three wide running line behind either Magnetier or Yellow Brick, whichever one that is. And now what they do with Pier is going to be interesting, whether they want to take the back of Autumn Glow or whether they want to try and make Autumn Glow get the back of it. I don't know which way that is. I think there's been some chat that Autumn Glow finds a 1-1. If he finds a 1-1, then the jockeys in Sydney who are riding against Autumn Glow should hand their licences in.
I found that remarkable as well. Racing New South Wales official maps have it 1-1.
It'd be competitive. I just cannot see how a horse like Autumn Glow can get the 1-1. Now, as I say, if that gets the 1-1, then
race over.
They're not fucking fair dinkum at all. But they're not. I mean, you cannot have a horse draw 14 and sit 1-1 in a Group 1 race. And say, well, she just got in. You don't get in. You don't get in. You just don't. And I'm not there to get Autumn Glow beaten at all. I love her, but there should be 13 other blokes or women out there saying, let's make it somewhat difficult for her.
Mm.
Let's see how good she really is. I don't think it changes the result where she sort of sits. I think if she can find the right backside, three wide line, I've got no issue with them probably coming out wide at Randwick anyway in this scenario on Saturday. Don't think she gets beat, but fucking 1-1.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting chat as well. Look, we've got a bit of a futures ticket open for Autumn Glow. I won't go into that. I don't want to curse it by any means, but she's...
Give me a spell. That's what they're running with on Twitter these days.
She's a bloody exciting horse. She's unbeaten 6 out of 6. 54.5 kilos, looks well in here. Look, you'd love Barrier 5 and J-Mac, but, you know, under that scenario, you'd probably have to take $1.85, $1.90. Here, you're going to get $2. Maybe you might get $2.40 on the day. The map is potentially not that great, and that's the reason why you are going to get that price. But she's just answered every challenge that's been put forward to her. I think Karen... He's not going to just snag her and go all the way back to last. He's going to have a look. I think he's going to go forward, try and find a back, just try and settle in that forward of midfield position. And I think she does win the race. Pericles, look, it's your map horse. Chaya Wolf, I don't think he's going as well. He does want high pressure. He'll probably get that to a certain extent here over the mile in a race that he won last year. Then he won the King Charles as well, but he's got to carry a lot more weight in it this year. I don't know. I've just gone Autumn Glow. I think she wins. If Pia
just
wins,
just devil's advocate here. Can she win if Yellow Brick, say, sits outside, and for whatever reason Magnetier does something else, and Autumn Glow ends up being the three wide breeze? Can she still win doing it being the horse that sits three wide no cover?
I think she still can win three wide no cover, but it would make her job a lot tougher, and that's the reason why you might get 6-4 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Nico?
Yeah, I sort of won $2.50 from the gate and putting my trust in K-Mac to make the right decision. There's no doubt she's the best horse in this race by panels, but plenty of good horses get beat by circumstances, so that's got to all come into your thinking and your decision-making. So, $2.50 is the price that I want. Hopefully I get it.
Fantastic. Will, surely Autumn Glow excites you a little bit.
Yeah, no, she's exciting. I don't bet there, though, so it's fine. It's good. I hope she wins.
Baby winks, but...
How about this one, Will? If she came... Just say she wins by two lengths.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't drill into the ratings that much, so it won't create an issue for you until she comes down here. But yeah. would you give her a live hope in, say, a Cox Plate?
Yes.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
Would you?
They'll spell it.
Yeah.
I would love to see her in a Cox Plate.
No, yes. 100%. Oh, I think she'd win it.
I think she'd win it. I think she's looking out. She hasn't been to a mile yet.
Yeah. I mean, I'd want her to be impressive here.
Yeah, she hasn't been to a mile yet, and that's interesting because she's a strong horse rather than a horse that quickens.
She looks like she's looking for it.
So I think she's looking for fucking a mile and further. So if she got to 2,000, she improves off what she's doing at 1,300 meters is and running the rating she is, and she's meant to be better over even maybe up to 10 furlongs, and fucking hell, she might be
J-Mac reckons she'd win any sprint race if they trained her for 1,200 meters too. Like, she must have.
That's just disgusting. No one wants to see that.
I think the thing is, in terms of a Cox Plate, you know, Winx took the Epsom Cox Plate path, but 10 years ago, that's how long it is now. Winx's first Cox Plate was 10 years ago. Wow. Ten years ago, the King Charles didn't sit where it does now, and there was no Golden Eagle. So...
Because he's already going to have the issue of Via Sistina and Eliana clashing, which he's probably going to be losing sleep over.
Probably won't happen, but it would be awesome to see. All right, race 9, the Metrop. We'll quickly speed up here. Group 1, 2,400 metres, handicap. And Soul of Spain is going for 5 in a row, 50.5 kilos and $5.50. There you go, bit of numerology. Birdman is there at $6. Travolta, $9. Changing of the Guard, $9.50. Royal Supremacy, $11. You got these two class horses here, Vauban $11 and Arapahoe at $13. Etna Rosso splits them and Juju Kibo and Piggyback and Next Best, who ran 1-2. They're on the backup. Julesy, big handicap. This is your type of race.
Yeah, well, keep with the numerology. Then Soul of Spain will win by 5.5, won't it? 5.5. I hope it fucking does. I'm on Soul of Spain from a futures perspective, but that doesn't cloud my judgment when I do the final field, sort of when it popped up Tuesday afternoon, and I've sort of marked him $6, you know, and I've got him going as good as I can get him going at that price. I don't think there's really any spoil in his price. I think he's probably the most likely winner for me, but this is a really tough competitive race. This is going to be a genuine tempo as well. I think there's going to be sort of no loafing. I think you're going to have to be really strong through the line. If I didn't have anything on invested now into the race, I wouldn't play into the race because I still now am looking at it going, theoretically, I can't lay in because I'll get nothing out of it. He's too big in the market and I need to probably back something, but I can't narrow that focus down. So I'm just left holding him by himself. I think if I back three or four others, I'd still probably miss, and I don't want to torch any more cash into the race. So probably not much help in terms of this perspective of what I want to be with. I think this is a really tough race. History will tell us that Down in the Weights is the go for this race. It just is. I mean, there's certain races where that narrative fits. I think, you know, recent history, like the race after Rupert Clark, you just can't win with a big weight. And there's obviously always outliers, but you just want to be with those progressive horses on the way up. And I think the Metrop sort of fits that bill. So I think that's where you need to be. You know, horses like Vauban and Arapahoe, I'd be surprised if they won. So, yeah, look, I'm praying for Soul of Spain, but I'm also not a huge believer in God, so I don't really know why I'm praying.
Fair chat.
I've got the other Waller sort of up-and-comer in the futures, and that's Birdman. And yeah. I'm finding it hard not to be swayed by my previous ticket as you are, Jules, and just look at it as it is. Look, I thought his win last start was very good. That race rated quite well. Adelaide River, you know, he's going around in a much better race. The draw isn't kind by any means, but 2,400-meter start, Randwick just gets somewhere, hopefully midfield. He is my on-top selection. Another horse I have backed at a big price is Juju Kebo. I would have loved to see him win last week rather than get turned over by Piggyback if he was going to win a race like this, but still holding out to a bit of hope. I think number one and number two, Vauban and Arapahoe, can run well. But as you said, Jules, it's just not really the profile to be carrying big weights and winning metrops. But Birdman is on top. I'm more hopeful than confident. Nico?
Yeah, not really a race that I wanted to sort of get involved in. Can sort of see the line of with Soul of Spain. You could have Birdman. I don't think he's much chop, to be honest. Barrier 16, he's got a world of pain. If you wanted it on top tip, I think Royal Supremacy's got a bit of sense of timing about it. It was good last time, mm-hmm. Mine, Soul of Spain. 50 kilos for a bloke who knew how to win a staying race. And be a bit of a giant killer. So, yeah, no one's really talking about Royal Supremacy. So, and he's probably the one that I'd be on if I was to have a bet. I'm like you, I do love Juju Kebo, but I don't really love the booking of Reece Jones, and I would like to have seen him beat.
He's a Metro winning jockey, mate.
Yeah, I know, but
one on land legend.
Yeah, but he's not in the best of form. That was probably his last winner, was it? and yeah, I don't. That's probably a bit harsh, but he hasn't been riding too many winners. Like he's not a multiple winning.
He's not
Saturday Metro jockey. Like these are his type of races. Yeah, Juju Kebo, like that horse, but I would like to have seen him beat Piggyback last time. Like, she's just a horse. So, yeah, I'm throwing a few strays here, but yeah.
Let's wrap up. Come on, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Any other bets around the country? There's racing at Moonee Valley on Friday night. It's actually not a bad card, given it's just stacked with benchmark 64s.
I haven't even looked at it, to be honest.
There is one horse that Mark Zara is going down to ride, and it's his only ride for the night, race one, Cabriole. Get it early, race one, number two. This horse did run third behind Autumn Boy and Central Coast first up at Canterbury. That line of form looks all right now, so maybe that's one you can take. $2.30 now, I would think. It may start even shorter.
Is that his Jules, bone, his bone trembles.
Yep.
Is Matoa prices out yet?
This is Botter.
No, not yet, mate.
Okay.
Not quite yet. They come out tomorrow.
Okay. I think there's one in Matoa. There might be a couple in Matoa I want to keep an eye on.
Don't give it away, because some of the people that listen to this podcast are pretty quick on the prices. So you might be doing yourself.
Some people that listen set the prices.
Yeah.
Gunbauer Cup Day on Saturday.
What's that?
It's Gunbauer Cup Day on Saturday.
I did see that. I was trying to find a. I was trying to find a bet at Gunbauer, but unfortunately I couldn't find one. So
yeah, I backed the winner of the cup last year.
Also, Jamestown. I would say this completely off the beaten track. There's also a meeting at Jamestown, which is in Adelaide, South Australia, somewhere. And there's a guy that I went into business with, who was in Foxcatcher. He is taking a filly to Jamestown. I don't even know how far away this is. It's non-tab. He's going there for a specific reason, to take his horse there, and he's strapping it. He's never strapped a horse in his life. So if you get to Jamestown, there might be a bet for it.
This is the mail we need.
That sounds like the biggest rort of all time.
Sounds good to me. It's only a rort if you're not involved.
Can
as
he
they
get
say.
The main thing is, can he lead the horse around the like the tan mark or whatever that's going to circle on and get it out in the track safely?
Yeah, well, I think it can. The thing is, no one will see it. It's like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there, does it actually fall? Because there'll be no one there. So no one will actually know that he went, and no one will know. Anyway, the point is, he's going there. It's bizarre, but if you're heading out to Jamestown, as I said, keep your eyes peeled.
Righto. They might not even be checking the brands of the horses there. Maybe you can just
send No. A semi-wild mine hasn't been seen for a while. So if it ended up being a semi-wild mine, there you go.
All right, Jules, we do a thing called the podcast multi here. It never really wins, but it creates good fodder on social media. We all choose a best bet, and usually we get 2 out of 3. Now it's going to be 3 out of 4. Who's your best bet?
It'll be Flemington Race 4, number 5, Just a Journey.
Lovely. Bot, that's your best bet gone.
So Bot's little eye roll then.
No, Gilded Water's mine.
All right, Gilded Water. So that's about three.
That's mine too.
Yeah. Well, we know what's been happening with you two and Ben's in this podcast. So that's 382.40, Nico.
I'll take Race 6, number 1, Randwick Apocalyptic.
The short way out, $1.85. Yeah,
coward's way from me.
And I'll go the big girl. I'll go Via Sestina. I really like Autumn Glow as well, but do we want K-Mac from Barrier 14 deciding our fate late in the day?
I was gonna take On Display, but I'm decided not to buy into that hype train just in case I get it wrong.
Yeah.
I'll just take the short and sweet Flick to Fine Leg.
Yeah. Flick it to Fine Leg for a single. That's 40-1. Can't lose. All right. Twitter questions. Lucas Greenwood, will Jules be signing autographs at the Foxcatcher event on Saturday?
Well, to the people out there, please come to the Osborne from 12 o'clock till 6 o'clock. Foxcatcher will be looking after you from everything. So food and drinks will be done. We'll be punting our living brains out. I'll sign whatever the hell you want. So
is it open invite or do you have to have a certain...
No, level? Just turn up. Just turn up. So no invite required. Just no ticket required.
Jules' name at the door and straight up the stairs.
You don't even need to do that. To be honest, you get more of a chance not mentioning my name. but it'll be upstairs, so just walk in the door. If you are in the area, just come up. You're most welcome. It'll be a bit of fun. Nothing serious at all. Just people sitting around having a few bets and a few laughs and a few drinks.
Who you got on the panel? Hutchie will be on the mic.
Hutchie will be there, so that could get a little bit wild. And Ashman coming down from Sydney.
Oof.
And we might just have a couple of few other out wider guys that we might have cooked our teeth into, so they might be able to come. Obviously, there's some major races going on, supposedly, on the Saturday, so... I think those guys might be sort of having to do other stuff, which is pretty poor from them. But anyway.
Make sure you get down. Also, you know, there's plenty of times where you go down to the Osborne at 10:30 p.m. and you do get barred. So this is probably a good way to get into the club nice and early and while you're not intoxicated and get in.
Avoid the line. And then getting with the right people, and then the next week and the week after, you'll be right for the rest of the carnival. So do yourselves a favour, maybe.
Yeah. Nicky McGuilter fan page. Jules, does being ridiculously good looking help with getting inside info from trainers?
I don't know who he's talking to there, but no, got very low self-worth. So that's, I don't know if he's talking to the right person there, but no, and I don't really, to be honest, as theoretically an analyst should do not listen to trainers.
Yep. Nathan says, are we all a little puzzled on Chaewol's campaign?
How
do you think he's going this preparation, Jules?
Oh, I reckon you boys would be better placed than me.
He's a myth.
Doesn't he just need a fast run race? Like, is that just what happened? The world's aligned for him early doors and he got these fast run, brutally run races and that was great for him. And I think now he's just hasn't sort of had that occur.
He hasn't had his girlfriend prior to Jenny in a race. That's been his issue.
Yeah, he seems a little bit of a one-trick pony, but I don't know if he's quite going as well as this time last year. Jeff Sampson's got some feedback for you. Jules couldn't tip a canoe.
That's good. there's better ones out there. I mean, that one's hopeless, to be honest. But anyway, I take it on. I take all that on board. Absolutely.
Darren Barber, intrigued to hear thoughts on betting early versus last 5 minutes and associated ROIs from both. Listening to preview shows 2 days out, obviously there is lots of variables, but the late market volume, does that outweigh this? Jules, you've probably got some thoughts on this. Is it just a bit of a case-by-case scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a major player that play early. Like if I've marked a horse shorter, I'll trust my price and I want to play as much as I can, get on as much as I can to whatever it might be, you know, Wednesday night or Thursday morning for the Saturday. That's what I'll do. You know, there's always circumstances where you want to maybe play a little bit because you're just a little bit worried about how the track can play, but that's why you've got to try and do the work and try and get the numbers around how you think the track can play, because that's, for me, that's been my edge for so many years, to be able to try and get ahead of knowing the dog before it goes to school. So I'm not one that plays heavily late. I usually play really, really early and then, you know, can play late at times, but I'm not as big as that. No.
Yep. Another one for you. Athlete Siggy kind of guy or traditional dart smoker?
That's outrageous. As all boys do when you're trying to be cool and all that sort of fucking garbage, and for anyone sort of young listening to this, don't ever try and be cool, because just do you and you'll be fine. I tried to smoke, I think, you know, at 12 or 13 and just couldn't do it. Just could not make it work. So, and I'm really thankful for that. Obviously, my lungs have been good for that. Probably fell victim to a few other things, but the smoking one has not got me yet.
Yeah. Ryan Patton, does Jules run with Bondi Sands or Reef Coconut Oil?
Well, that had to come up at some stage, you know what I mean?
It did. It's El Natural, I would have thought.
You know, sponsored by the Solarium.
Yeah. It's an interesting question and one that I don't really have the answer to because of neither. But, I mean, back in the day, I did sit out in the sun with vegetable oil. I'm not going to lie about that. but, you know, you sort of, you get older and you've got, you know, less time to do things like that. But
just good genetics, Jules.
I've never used fake tan in my life. So when always people do say the fake tan, I do find that odd, because I just don't have the mitten or the glove or whatever they use. So I don't get involved in that.
Certainly not your mitten and glove anyway.
All right. Racing Nuff, the day's here, Autumn Glow Day. Fill your boots. The girls coming down via Sustana into Autumn Glow double. That's from Racing Nuff. Thanks very much. Cozza, how many lengths does Apocalyptic win by? Hopefully half a length. That'll do. But Nico reckons two.
Yep.
Lucas Greenwood, after Cross Counter won the Melbourne Cup, this one was always going to come up. Jules bought the biggest estate he could find in Torquay. Ben, where will you be buying your mansion after Sir Delius wins the Melbourne Cup this year?
Well, Barwon Heads anyway, it was not Torquay. Barwon Heads is more select and more niche, but, that's just digressing.
We might have a meeting with developers after Half Yours wins the Caulfield Cup and Sir Delius wins the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
Jules has already got the super yacht for us to get to Incentivise Island, so we'll buy the next one next to it.
Those would be the two best ones, though, Jules, Incentivise and Cross Counter. Is that right?
Cross County, yeah. Early doors protectionist, probably when I first really was really kind to me as well. From those type of horses, yeah, definitely Cross Counter and most recently
Incentivise. Does Half Yours give you a real sort of Incentivise vibe?
Oh, I mentioned this before. Wash your mouth out, Nico.
I didn't actually hear it. It must have been when I was out of play. No, it would have been then after I finished waffling.
I don't go into great detail there, but I just think Incentivise might have possibly been one of the greatest horses that we never got to see his absolute best. For what he was able to do that spring and win a Mackaybe, a Turnbull and a Caulfield Cup and then probably break down during the Melbourne Cup and run second and get beaten by
it. I'm still hurting. Let me see,
very elegant Island. Was just, I think, astonishing. And we don't see that in our horses now. When do they win? Like, it's always, it's building up to the grand final. He was just running grand finals every freaking 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He was a fucking superstar.
And cut.
Yeah, sorry. You shouldn't mention that horse.
I know.
I genuinely, that was genuinely when I cut out before, so I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I mentioned Sir Delius in the same sentence, not half yours, but anyway, got a similar sort of slap across the face. A couple Instagram questions. JW, Sir Delius jump favourite in the Cox plate if he wins on Saturday? It's not a bad question.
We don't want him winning Caulfield Cox plates and this
does he
rubbish.
Start favouring in the Cox plate if he wins on Saturday? There's probably some chance he does.
Well, that would require Via Sestina to fail.
Yeah.
And to not run in the Cox plate because she's still just going to have this anchor that the big guys just have to latch onto.
Sir Delius and Aliana could start within a dollar of her if she gets beat on Saturday, is my prediction. If not, she'll be dominant favourite.
Well, I think if Sestina gets beaten on Saturday, we might not see her again.
Oof. There we go.
Wow. Trying to shoot baby, scenario. Retire the grader.
No, I'm not trying to do that yet. I want this spring to be as good. I want that Cox plate to be as great a Cox plate as it can be. And she needs to be in it for that to occur. And I want her to be able to be outstanding going into it. I'm just saying from a perspective is I think they'll be really kind to her if she does run poor on Saturday. I don't think they'd go to the well in the Cox plate.
It is shaping to be one of the great Cox plates if they all get there. It'll be a great finale for Moonee Valley.
Be the last one on the track. It'll be great. Damon Winley, River of Stars sent out as the pacemaker for Via. Moron, don't call me a moron. That's Nico's famous line.
Good gear.
Yeah, I do think that is a possible scenario. Scarfy says, thoughts on Next Gen's chances.
Betty,
where is Next Gen running?
Thanks for tuning in.
What race is that?
Next Gen.
No idea.
That's race 4 at Randwick. I don't know if you've had a look at that, Jules.
No, that's way out of my
ring. Sorry, mate. And Stuber's just got 2. Julesy, love you, mate. But any chance you can tip a horse? There's always a but. Any chance you can tip a horse not in a benchmark 58 5,000 meter race, please?
I don't know many benchmark 58. 5,000
meter
race.
I love how he's butted him up, bought him dinner, and then just slapped him across the face. And here's the bill.
No, maybe it's happened before, and I use it. It's usually just not a slap, but
it's usually not a male either. There might be a couple of those races in New
with
Zealand
with that Bondi Sands mitt.
And the last, Stu. Last question from me: what does Jules make of Ka Ying? Kane rising, and he's just sort of trumpeting that he's got good passes, double figures.
He hasn't, has he?
Is his $15 looking good?
Who is his $15?
Stu Ferenchi. So he's one of our mates.
He's Kane rising is, I think, going to be. I think it's just exciting to see. Can't wait for
would he become a bet at any point for you, Jules?
No, because I just don't do enough work on those international horses. So, and Bird's well and truly found there. It'd be interesting to see what the actual, people are sort of saying, whatever he is now. This world pool, it's a world pool race. So,
good side $1.20.
I think, without, you might say that really flippantly, I think he probably starts $1.30 in that in the pool.
How much effect does that world pool have on the fixed odds market, you think?
Well, it will with, say, a place like the TAB, because the TAB will be like, you know what? We know he's going to start, say, $1.30. Why do we need to put up $1.60? Let's put up $1.50 and let's see what happens from there. And then we know that the other guys probably aren't going to want to.
Jeez, if he looks as good as what he looks so far in that trial on Tuesday and just really just sticks the knife in and twists it, even though it's a trial and he won't be asked to do much, he'll still just click up the last little bit. If he looks, if he looks as good as he has been, he could start anything.
So last one on that one, Jules. Kaying Rising could start a prohibitively short price favourite. In terms of market percentage, that means you're going to get really big prices for horses like Jolly Star, Briasa, Jimmy Star, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to get, to be honest, you're going to get extravagant prices. You're going
to
get
20 to 1, maybe.
It was like a gold trip type kind of price in a Turnbull sort of 1 year or maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I think, where it was really inflated. So you're definitely going to get that. There's just no way to cut it any other way. He's probably going to be world tote pool $1.30. $1.40.
Well, those Hong Kong punters, they back their champions at any price. Yeah. You've seen it on Champions Day. Like, they just take any price. Any price is a good price about the hometown hero. Like, he could start anything.
Yeah, which means...
I think they're a little bit more shrewd than that, I'd hope. But I would think that, yeah, he is going to... Yeah, it's going to be... If you like something else, you'd be playing for the total.
Donate to charity instead of the bookmakers, is the advice.
Oh, but if you like the second, third favourites, they're going to be... You could get $15 for, like, a very good horse. 20-1, yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap it up there. Jules, thank you very much for coming on. It's a bit of a longer one tonight, but there was plenty of good racing, so appreciate your time.
Really enjoy it, boys. Appreciate the invite as always, and go well over the weekend and go well over the spring.
Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, mate. Get to the Osborne if you can. If you're not going there, there's a couple of us that will go to Flemington, so send us a message, and hopefully we can have a beer and have plenty of winners as well. Thanks, guys.